Anne Elliot stands at 27, faded and overlooked, a shadow of her former self. 8 years earlier, she made the decision that would define her life, breaking her engagement to Frederick Wentworth, a promising naval officer without fortune or connections. Persuaded by her godmother, Lady Russell, that the match was imprudent, Anne sacrificed love for duty and social expectation. Now, as her vain father, Sir Walter, faces financial ruin through extravagance, the family must rent their ancestral home, Kellynch Hall. By cruel twist of fate, the new tenants are Admiral and Mrs. Croft, the latter being Captain Wentworth's sister. The stage is set for an inevitable reunion that will force Anne to confront her deepest regret. What makes this premise so compelling is how it questions the very nature of influence. Lady Russell's advice, though well-intentioned, led to years of unhappiness. Is persuasion inherently good or bad? As Anne later reflects, a persuadable temper might sometimes be as much in favor of happiness as a very resolute character. This nuanced view challenges us to consider when we should stand firm and when we should remain open to guidance. Anne's quiet competence masks deeper emotions that have never truly faded, showing how a single decision can echo through years, reshaping not just romance, but identity itself. Persuasion unfolds in a Britain transformed by the Napoleonic Wars, where naval officers created a new class of self-made men. Sir Walter Elliot represents the declining aristocracy, obsessed with his baronetage listing and appearances while drowning in debt. His retreat to Bath rather than accepting reduced circumstances reveals both his vanity and desperate grasp at fading importance. The naval officers present a stark contrast. Captain Wentworth rose from nothing but himself and his first commission to earn $25,000 through merit, while Admiral Croft's practical leadership overshadows Sir Walter's ceremonial position. When the Crofts occupy Kellynch Hall, Mrs. Croft's removal of Sir Walter's excessive mirrors symbolically dismantles the old order's vanity. The naval community embodies a new gentility based on character rather than inheritance. The Harvilles' modest cottage in Lyme exemplifies genuine hospitality over ostentation. These officers, having earned their fortunes through service, demonstrate that true nobility lies in actions rather than titles, a revolutionary concept in Regency England that remains relevant today. Anne Elliot's strength lies not in bold declarations, but in her quiet resilience and moral clarity. Though initially seen as passive for letting herself be persuaded against marrying Wentworth, she proves her mettle during Louisa Musgrove's accident at Lyme. While others panic, Anne takes charge with calm competence, revealing her measured nature, knowing precisely when to act and when to step back. Her intelligence shines through keen observations. She's the first to see through Mr. Elliot's charming facade and navigates complex social dynamics with grace, particularly between her difficult sister Mary and the Musgroves. Unlike other Austen heroines who must overcome flaws, Anne's journey is about reclaiming her happiness. Her growth culminates in her powerful conversation with Captain Harville about constancy and love, overheard by Wentworth. Her passionate defense of women's emotional fidelity, "We certainly do not forget you as soon as you forget us," reveals years of concealed feelings. Anne finds her voice not through dramatic gestures, but through thoughtful discourse, making her quiet revolution profound. When Frederick Wentworth re-enters Anne's life, he's transformed from the hopeful young officer she rejected into a distinguished captain with a fortune of £20,000. His glowing, manly, open look commands admiration even from the appearance-obsessed Sir Walter. Yet beneath this successful exterior lies a man still wounded by rejection, evidenced by his cruel remark that Anne was so altered he should not have known her again. Wentworth's growth revolves around his understanding of strength. Initially valuing only firmness of purpose, he praises Louisa Musgrove's decisiveness while criticizing Anne's past yielding to persuasion. This mindset leads to Louisa's near-tragic accident at Lyme, where Anne's composed response forces him to reassess what constitutes true strength. His transformation culminates in his letter to Anne. "You pierce my soul. I am half agony, half hope." This vulnerable confession shows how far he's come. The man who once valued only determination now recognizes that true strength lies in the courage to love despite past hurts. Austin uses three settings to mirror emotional journeys. Kellynch Hall represents traditional social order and Anne's bittersweet memories of Wentworth. The Elliots' departure from their ancestral home reflects their declining status. Lyme Regis, with its dramatic coastline, serves as a turning point. Louise's accident forces Wentworth's self-reflection, while the sea air revives Anne's beauty, attracting Mr. Elliot's attention. Bath's elegant facade masks a complex social arena. Though Anne initially rejects its superficiality, the city becomes where she asserts her independence and reunites with Wentworth. These locations actively shape character development, with the country-city contrast highlighting the different value systems Anne navigates while staying true to herself. Persuasion depicts the British Navy as a meritocratic brotherhood that contrasts with hereditary aristocracy. Through Wentworth, Admiral Croft, and Captain Harville, we see men of practical competence and moral integrity, qualities often lacking in their social superiors. The naval characters show exceptional warmth and loyalty, demonstrated by the Harvilles' care for the injured Louisa. Captain Harville's home in Lyme reflects ingenuity, with personally crafted furnishings that create comfort through skill rather than wealth. Admiral and Mrs. Croft represent an ideal partnership. Mrs. Croft, having sailed throughout her husband's career, is quite as much at home at sea as on land. Their shared handling of their carriage, with Mrs. Croft correcting her husband's steering, symbolizes their equal partnership. This naval society values merit over birth, as shown by Wentworth's rise from obscurity to wealth. By placing her heroine's happiness within this progressive world, Austin suggests that social evolution based on personal merit is both inevitable and desirable. Unlike typical romance novels, Persuasion explores love rekindled after disappointment. The resolution requires Anne and Wentworth to transcend their wounds. She must overcome her regret at yielding to Persuasion. He must release his resentment over rejection. Their reconciliation creates a deeper bond, strengthened by experience. This theme extends beyond the central pair. Lady Russell gains a chance to reassess Wentworth, while Mrs. Smith finds renewed hope through their help. Even minor characters discover second chances through their schemes. The story's psychological realism makes it compelling. Anne and Wentworth must rebuild trust rather than simply resuming their past relationship. Their reunion feels earned through their separate journeys of growth. When Wentworth declares, "I have loved none but you," it resonates because experience has proven Anne's incomparability. In a world fixated on new beginnings, Persuasion suggests that true renewal comes from returning to what matters most with greater wisdom.